In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want to thank these young ladies for singing all through the Badarak today, these two young girls here. Well done. God bless you. It's good to have participation. We are in Lent and in the fourth session of our study series on the Nicene Creed. And this takes extra effort for your pastor, and it takes extra effort for you all to listen and to learn, but that's what Lent is for, and so I hope and pray that this will lift you in wisdom and in grace. Here comes the fourth part, and it's to the Holy Spirit. And let's look at the words very quickly, either on page 18 in your Badarak books or in the green papers in the backs of your pews. Let's read the little part on the Holy Spirit, okay? It begins, we believe in the Holy Spirit, or in Armenian, Havatamk Isur Pokin. Okay? Let's do the Armenian first. Havatamk I Yevi Sur Pokin, Ha Nerin Yevi Gatar Yalin, Vor Hoset Sav Horenes Yevi Markares Yev Havitarans, Vor Ejini Hordanan Karozyats Harakyalsen We believe in the Holy Spirit, in the uncreated and the perfect, who spoke through the law, prophets, and gospels, who came down upon the Jordan, preached through the apostles, and lived in the saints. On the altar today, we were talking about if we had a time machine. I don't want to explain the background and context for that, but if we had a time machine and we went back to Nicaea, in 325, because we're celebrating the 1700th anniversary of this Nicene Creed, we would not find this in the Creed. Because remember, in the beginning I told you, no one can say the real name of the Creed as we have it because it's too long and difficult. The real name of the Creed we have is the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed, because they figured out a lot of it at Nicaea. But it took them to Constantinople, the second ecumenical council, to agree. And there was lots of drama and back and forth in between. And this one is the Nicene Constantinopolitan one. The Nicene one, what did it say about the Holy Spirit? You can't believe it. All it said was, and in the Holy Spirit. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. That's it. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Why so short? First, maybe because it's invisible. Like God the Father, Jesus different, of course, but it's invisible, and we have this prejudice against invisible things. In this age of reason and science that nothing's real unless you can prove it empirically, right? But aren't the most important things in the physical world invisible, right? There's a whole bunch of... They're not rays. What are they called, Chuck? Wireless waves. Thank you. Waves. Okay. There's x-rays. There's gravity. All the shots, and we discovered them. We do have a problem with invisible things that are bigger than us. That's a little more intimidating, and that takes a little more humility. By the way, besides the physical world, in the human world, the most powerful things are invisible. Love, hope, faith. What else? Dozens of things. The invisible things in life are the most powerful. And that's one prejudice we have against the invisible, but the Holy Spirit is invisible, and so we don't really know how to talk about it. Here's another interesting thing. Maybe we don't talk about the Holy Spirit because we don't even know to call it he or she or it. In Greek, it's neutral, pneuma. In Hebrew, the spirit is feminine, ruach. In Latin, spiritus, that's masculine. In English, so you have to make a choice, he or she or it. And it's impersonal, so we don't like that. Here is a case where Armenian is lovely. Armenian is lovely because na is he, she, and it altogether, as the Holy Spirit is. So that works. But in any case, it's hard to pin down, it's hard to capture the Holy Spirit in words, but shouldn't we expect this? after talking about the Father and the Son. As you recall, we said that there's only 18 words about the Father because he's so great beyond words that whatever you say, it's way infinitely more than that. And then we said, Jesus was the greatest life ever lived. He did so much that was amazing. You can't stop talking about it. And now the Holy Spirit fits in perfectly with that, and it says, you can't say much about the Holy Spirit, not because it's so much greater than you, but because it's so close to you. And so it's hard to see. Let's look at the words of the creed, and let me tell you more about what I'm saying. We believe in the Holy Spirit, in the uncreated, in the perfect. By uncreated, we mean it was always there. It's the water we swim in if you're a fish. It's the air we breathe if you're a person. It's so close to you that you take it for granted and you can't even tell it's different than you. The same with the Holy Spirit. We've been in it since in the beginning, personally as well as a species. The air we breathe. And that's the reason why it's so hard to describe, because it's so close. When we say perfect in the Nicene Creed about the Holy Spirit, that's another reason why the Spirit's hard to describe, because of what it does. When we say perfect in English, that gets a little preachy and moralistic. It's not the same as Gatarial in Armenian, which gives you this sense of filled and fulfilled and accomplished and completed. But not just in the past, in the present too. The Holy Spirit is the completer, the fulfiller. Like we often say, and I say in my sermons, where we end, God begins. And so the Holy Spirit is like seamlessly, it finishes the sentences of our lives, of the faithful. Paul says, remember what Paul says about the Holy Spirit? We can't even pray without the help of the Holy Spirit. We offer up our prayers and our willingness, and the Holy Spirit sort of intercedes and works through us, like completes our sentences. And it fulfills us, and it does so from within. So it's very hard to describe something that's a part of you and from within you, right? And as with individuals, so in human history, the Holy Spirit has behaved in this way. Let's look at the next line. It says that the Holy Spirit spoke through the law and the prophets and the gospels. What does this mean? It means that the Holy Spirit has been with human beings throughout time. It means that it was in God's plan from the beginning. It's like bookends from the gospel. If you turn to the very first page of the gospel, of the Bible, in Genesis 1, what does it say? It says that the Spirit hovered over the waters, that the whole of matter was formless and void, but there was a Spirit there, right? That's the first words of the Bible. And some of the last words of the Bible after Jesus actually giving the Spirit, which we'll look at, is Revelations, and it says that anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to everyone who overcomes, I will give a white stone, and on that stone will be written a name known only to you and to God. The Spirit of regeneration, of taking us to the next life in Christ and into his kingdom. So there's Spirit in the beginning, there's Spirit in the end. It's this invisible force of God's growth, like light is for the plant world, like air is for the animal world, Spirit is for the human soul. It invisibly grows us from within. And breath is an important symbol in reality to understand the Holy Spirit, because what do we call the Bible in the Armenian language? Astvadashunsh, right? That literally means breath of God, or even better, God breathed. God breathed. Action. Ongoing. God breath, right? And that's from Timothy in the scriptures, where Timothy writes that all scripture is inspired by God, God breathed, and is useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. It's words, but it's living words. It's powered by breath, God's breath, the Spirit of God. And so they aren't words for speaking, but for living. And that brings us to the next part. Who came down upon the Jordan. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Look over there if you want a visual of that. Who came down upon the Jordan, preached through the apostles, and dwelt in the saints. The Spirit from Jesus' time, it didn't merely just take over your words, it takes over a whole person. It dwells in them. It's really a possession, but a good one. The old word for Holy Spirit, one of the old words in English, Holy Ghost, right? And what do ghosts do? Bad ones possess you. Good ones also possess you. Bad ones possess us with the desire for wealth, for power, for control, ego. Good ones possess you with good and truth and beauty and a desire for the things of God. This is a possession we want to happen. That's, by the way, why we turn and renounce evil before every morning service and before every baptism. Get away all of the bad spirits that inhabit and I live my life for and I live and breathe. And let me turn to the light of the knowledge of God and let the Holy Spirit breathe and grow us from within. Right? And so that, of course, recalls Nicodemus' words too during our baptism and again with Jesus' baptism on the wall where Jesus says, one can't see the kingdom of God without being born again from above of water and of spirit. So this change from within, this change that comes so close from inside of us from God but works so closely, overlaps with us that it's hard to even say when it's happening. But that's the Holy Spirit as presented in the words of the Creed. And to end off today, I think there's no better way, first of all, to remember that this is all biblical and these bishops aren't sitting around inventing things. They're taking the Gospels they had and said, what does this actually mean, this mind-blowing life of Christ? And the Gospel of John, which we've been studying on Thursdays and are going to have our last session this coming Thursday, we saw this wonderful passage of what Jesus himself said and promised about the Holy Spirit, that it would come nearer to us after he leaves. And here are those passages, beautiful ones, that we also read during Holy Week. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, says Jesus. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And then Jesus says, I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. This promise of peace and wholeness, it's available now, and it's available through God's church, which is what we will explore the next time in the Nicene Creed. The church is like a subphrase of the Holy Spirit in the Nicene Creed, and that makes sense, right? Why is the church a subcategory under the Holy Spirit? Because the church was born by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. That's the birthday of all churches, the world church. It's the birthday of the Armenian church when all of a sudden, by the Holy Spirit, the apostles, a couple of them, started speaking Armenian, were able to speak Armenian, were able to come and go to Armenia. And then in Armenia, indeed, the apostles spoke Armenian, but more importantly, the Armenians spoke Christ. The Armenians spoke the Gospels. The Armenians wrote the Gospels in their close native tongue. Not a big change from above, but a change from within that took us where we were and brought us closer to Christ. So next time, We will look at the church, and we will look at how the breath of God continues through worship and through sacrament and a life of faith. Yeritzi, yeritzi, let it be, let it be. Let's now.